Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking today to the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, eating, and serving the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today for a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we have a wonderful guest, Kelly Huckstein. Did I say that right, Kelly?
Stein.
Kelly Huckstein.
Stein.
I know. Every time I just can't quite get it out right. Huckstein. And Kelly is a local farmer, and she's also the produce manager at Astoria Co-op. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about a really cool event called Meet Your Farmer. But first, why don't you tell us how you got to the North Coast? What brought you here?
Well, my family's from Astoria. Both my parents grew up here, but I had never lived here before moving here a couple years ago. I was farming in the valley, and I had kind of reached the point where I wanted to start doing a farming venture, you know, that was I was more in charge of, or I was owning, or something more along those lines. And in the valley, it's really hard to start a new farm because there's so much competition. There's already so many people doing all the things that you want to do. And so I decided to move up here because there's a lot, there's fewer producers, and I have family support, and all this together just made it seem like a smart move.
Kelly, I know you very well, and I know that you actually started out, you and your partner Sam started out woofing, mm-hmm. which is kind of part of an organization called Willing Workers on Organic Farms, mm-hmm. and you did that for a year or two, and tell us a little bit about where you went and what that experience was like.
Yeah, so after graduating from the University of Oregon, Sam and I both signed up for WOOF, and we went to Central America. So we spent 8 months down there, about 4 months in Costa Rica, another month or so in Nicaragua, and then some traveling in and out of there. We worked on three or four different farms, doing a variety of different things.
And explain a little bit about what the WOOF program is.
So ideally, what happens is you're trading your labor hours for room and board. Some countries and some situations can't quite do that. So, you know, you might get a stipend instead of room and board, or, you know, you might still have to buy your own food, but you get, you know, a place to mm-hmm. stay. It kind of depends. But
because this is an international organization.
Yeah. So and different countries have their own separate, you know, organization that is more strict or less strict or different rules. And so it kind of depends on where you're going.
And so did both you and Sam speak Spanish before you went? Or?
He is fluent in Spanish.
Uh-huh. That helps.
I can speak some Spanish. I'm pretty good at understanding it, but I can't always speak myself. I tended to rely on Sam, which was bad for my practicing.
So how would it be for someone who didn't speak the language? I mean, would that
it
be tough?
It depends on the farm. There was a uh-huh. bunch of farms down there that were run by expats, so they, you know, of the United States or Canada, so they uh-huh. spoke English. There was other
great.
Farms that were, you know, run by people from the country, but, you know, they're looking out for international help, so usually they have somebody that can speak English on the farm.
What were some of the things that you grew down there that you worked on?
The first place we worked on was a coffee farm, and mm-hmm. so we were harvesting coffee cherries, and we got to do the whole shebang from harvesting to drinking a cup of coffee, which was pretty cool.
That was really neat.
And then we worked on another farm that was mostly a bed and breakfast, but they had kind of a hobby farm thing to, you know, had pineapples and vanilla and stuff, tropical stuff, you know. And then the other one was very similar to that.
So you went from working in Costa Rica and Nicaragua harvesting vanilla and pineapples to working in the Willamette Valley.
Yes.
And you worked on a farm down there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we got back from Central America, and I knew that I wanted to keep farming. And so it happened to be that right when we got back, there was a farm hiring down in Eugene that I applied for and got a job. And in the beginning was just harvesting basil and strawberries. And I did that for about 5 months.
So is that sort of like a normal intro?
They hired general labor, but uh-huh. I was coming in June, so uh-huh. that had already been hired out, and this was kind of like, we thought we had enough people, we needed an extra person for these particular harvests, so that's what I was slotted in. So it's kind of, it ended up being a trial for me. I did that, and then I uh-huh. got graduated into normal.
Okay. I can't even imagine spending a month just harvesting basil. I mean, did you get sick of the smell of it? Because I just think that's the most amazing smell on the planet.
I stopped being able to smell it. I would smell it when we first started harvesting in the morning, and then, you know, after an hour or so, I just didn't really realize that I was smelling it. And I'd go to a store afterwards, and people would comment on how I smelled of basil, and I had no idea that I still smelled like basil. So,
and so this was a pretty serious production farm. It's a large farm.
Yeah. So Wintergreen is they do about 20 acres of vegetable production, but the whole farm is about 170 acres. They do a lot of pasture rotation with their beef cows as well. The basil, particularly, is about an acre. They might have done that more to 2 acres now. They have a pesto business. So, but I was like sitting in a field basically of just basil. So that was pretty.
It just sounds like cool.
It was pretty cool.
Amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. And so then also commercially, where do they sell? So you got experience doing both farmers markets and CSA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I ended up, after working there for a few more years after that initial year, kind of helping be a co-manager of the CSA program. They had a 600-member CSA. They also did 5 farmers markets, mostly in Portland, and there was one in Bend. They kind of had to go outside of the Eugene area to get the really like high profit market. Sure. So,
and just for people who don't know, maybe can you just explain what a CSA is? What does that stands for?
So it's community supported agriculture, and the whole idea is that a lot of times farmers have a big startup in the beginning of the year where they're having to spend money on seeds and labor before they're getting any, you know, money back from selling their crops. So the idea of CSA was started where you buy a share of the farm in the beginning of the year. Basically, you're paying for, you know, 19, whatever, how many weeks of vegetables up front, so that the farmer can have the money to buy the seed and do all those things. And then you'll get weekly deliveries of produce for however many weeks the CSA lasts.
I'm trying to get my head around a 600-member CSA. That just seems enormous to coordinate.
It was crazy.
And
enormous.
Did you deliver just one day, or did you do...
There was 2 delivery days.
Yeah,
and multiple... Well, plus...
Multiple delivery places.
Sites, okay. Yeah, those 2 specific delivery days where the truck would go out and deliver only to CSA drop sites. But then they also went with markets, so it could be, you know, technically like 4 or 5 days of CSA deliveries if you...
And did you do faux shares and half shares?
We just did 1 share. They originally started doing a full and a half share, and most everyone signed up for their half share. And maybe it was just because their full share was like crazy amounts of vegetables. And so they just went to that 1 standard size, which was still a lot. It feeds like 4 people for a week, you know. So, yeah, it was a pretty good deal.
What did you like about farming? What do you think that really stuck with you, why you wanted to keep going? I mean, that's a pretty intense experience. It's a lot of hard work that you're doing. What was it that you think really connected you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. I love being outside and just really being, you know, knowing what the weather is. And if it's raining, you're still in the rain. And if it's sunny, you're super excited. And also just being able to eat a vegetable that you have, like, cultivated from seed is just the most amazing experience I think I've ever had, so.
And it's kind of like just anything with food, there's always something new around the corner,
yeah.
Isn't there? I mean,
yeah.
It's just like your learning curve never stops.
Yeah.
So what are some of the favorite things that you grow?
I like all vegetables, but I'm particularly fond of the brassica family. So when I worked on Wintergreen, one of my main crops was broccoli and cauliflower. I would harvest hundreds and hundreds of pounds of broccoli and cauliflower a day. And so I got pretty partial to those 2 things. I would eat them while harvesting.
Actually, it's kind of fascinating that you would still be partial to them after harvesting hundreds of pounds of them, and yet you still want to eat them.
I love them. They're my favorite things to harvest. They're my favorite things to eat. I just love them.
Romanesco
as well. I always would try to get on the Romanesco harvest, although I would be not very efficient because I would just stare into the vortex of spirals.
I know it's the coolest vegetable, isn't it?
But other brassicas like turnips, and I love salad turnips. They're probably one of my favorite vegetables. That's another harvest I would try to get on so I could eat as many salad
crunchy
turnips as
crunchy
I could.
And sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, those are amazing.
Yeah.
And what about here? What are you, I mean, same things?
Same things. You know, broccoli's a little hard here because of the rain. It gets a lot of crown rot. But turnips and radishes and all those things grow great. Kale, obviously, grows great. And
the leafy greens, yeah.
Yeah, leafy greens are pretty good here.
And Asian greens, too. And I know Asian that you're, greens. I know. It's a particular fondness of Kelly. She's definitely been. And just for those of you that are listening that don't know this, Kelly has been, for the last couple of years, helping out on my farm, 46 North Farm. I'm just in Olney, outside of Astoria. And she's definitely introduced us to a lot of things, especially her passion for Asian greens, which is amazing. We grew komatsuna last year, which was a beautiful vegetable I had never grown before.
Yeah.
And gai lan was another really favorite one of ours, which is sort of a cross between kale and broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that in stores oftentimes you see something called broccolini, which is like these little broccoli spears, and it's kind of like that, but also kind of not. It's a little spicier, maybe. And
and the stalk is a little thicker, I think.
And more tender, usually.
Yeah, yeah. And sweet. So, and it's kind of got a sweet taste to it.
Yeah.
It's fun to explore new vegetables. And it's really satisfying to see how many things actually will grow pretty well here. When we do have a very challenging climate and, you know, a short season, I think, in some ways because of the wetness and the rain.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that is a challenge. But I also, you know, try to tell people that, you know, we have a short season for a lot of crops, but we also don't get the hard freezes that we do in the valley. So,
that's true.
For instance, our komatsuna just now flowered.
It's just now flowered, yeah.
And we had it from, you know, last fall. It's been feeding us all winter because we never got that frost that would just wipe it out.
Yeah, it's been quite the year, hasn't it?
And it's a pretty tender green, so, you know, it's kind of surprising.
And even when we did get, I mean, we got some pretty hard frosts. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were some icy moments there, and it kept bouncing back from that. So I think that's great for us here in this climate to really think about trying new things and experimenting and extending. And then with even just a little bit of protection, a little bit of row cover fabric over some of your crops, or if you have a small hoop house or something like that, it's amazing the possibilities that you have for being able to feed yourself through the winter, and then also being able to harvest things really early in the spring. And that does bring a little bit of flexibility to growers here. Mm-hmm. So I know you're interested in having your own farm and learning more about, I mean, there was things that you wanted to do to take on and learn more, like the how to operate a farm and do stuff like that. I'm just really sensitive to like the needs of farmers and what kind of challenges they face. And I think that brings us to the topic that is kind of spurring this program, which is an event that's coming up. Actually, there's three events coming up called Meet Your Farmer. They're being put on by North Coast Food Web. And these programs came about because of a conversation that Kelly and I were having about what can we do, what can North Coast Food Web do to provide more support to the small but growing number of food producers here on the North Coast. And by food producers, we mean farmers, ranchers, fishermen, foragers, all of that. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that, those programs and those events. And I know Kristen has a little bit of a break that she needs to do first.
Yeah, so I think we're going to take a little bit of a break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio 91.9 and streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you are just joining us, we're talking with Kelly Huckstein. Did I get right?
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Who loves brassicas. And we're talking about Meet Your Farmer.
So tell us about how, I mean, you and I were talking and we were trying to brainstorm what we could do to provide more support for local producers. And you remembered an event that you'd attended down in Eugene with Wintergreen Farm, and that kind of provided the spark for this. So tell us a little bit about that event.
Yeah. So when I was working on Wintergreen, we went to an event called That's My Farmer. We changed the name slightly, which was started by Reverend John Pitney down there with First United Methodist Church. And his goal was to try to, you know, I think initially reach out to the faith organizations and kind of bring them into this whole CSA farming, you know, boom that has been going on. And so it started out with just through the churches, you know, reaching out to different people to come together and have this event where farmers could come that had CSAs and basically have a little booth and share a little bit about their CSA. And people could come around and kind of shop the CSAs and pick the one that was right for them and get to actually talk to the farmer that was growing the food for them. One thing with CSAs is when you are coming to a drop site and picking up your food, you might not really get to interact with your farmer all that much. So this was also just another way for those people that are doing CSAs to interact with their customers.
Which is really neat. So how's it going to work here then?
Well, we decided that one of the challenges that we face here on the North Coast is that our communities are so spread out. We have some great producers here, but its numbers are small. They are growing. We have a lot of beginning farmers, and then a lot of people who are producing food, but maybe not selling them in traditional markets or avenues. And so we wanted to definitely broaden the outreach from just CSAs to, you know, people who are producing food here. And then we also realized that logistically we were going to need to have more than one event, because we couldn't pick one community to have the event in that would make sense for where all the farmers are and where the customers are. You know, if you're down in Nehalem, you know, you're not going to go up to an event in Grays River, Washington to meet your local farmer. You want to go to an event that's closer to you. And similarly in Astoria, you're not going to go down to Cannon Beach to meet your local farmer. You're going to want to, you know, find someone that's a little bit closer to you. So we wanted to connect the producers and the customers more regionally. So we decided on having three. We wanted to start with three events. And they are going to be, remind me, so we're having one in Washington.
Mm-hmm. In the Grays River Grange.
At the Grays River Grange, we're going to have one in Astoria. Mm-hmm. And we're having one in Cannon Beach. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you the dates of those. The Astoria one is actually coming up quite soon. It's on April 6th, Saturday, April 6th. And it's going to be from 2 to 4 in the afternoon at the Grace Episcopal Church. And that's at 1545 Franklin in Astoria. And then the Grays River, Washington event and the Cannon Beach event are both going to be on April 20th, so a couple weeks after the Astoria one. We figured we could do both of them on the same day since they're such at opposite ends of the service areas and probably won't have a whole lot of overlap. So the Grays River event is going to take place at the Grays River Grange. That's on April 20th from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And the Cannon Beach event is going to take place at the Cannon Beach Community Hall from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And for those of you in Cannon Beach, that is the one of the big Cannon Beach Earth Day event days.
Right, and that's actually right next to the information center.
Yeah, so it's going to be taking place kind of after a lot of the Earth Day event stuff has happened. And we have farmers and food producers lined up to come to all of them. And what we wanted was, I mean, if there's farmers, I know like our farm really has just focused on farmers markets. We haven't done CSA before, although we're thinking about starting a small one in the future. But so there's farms that do just CSA and that don't come to farmers markets. There's farms that just do farmers markets. Mm-hmm. And then there's farmers and ranchers that do neither. There's people who raise meat animals and maybe sell direct to customers, selling like a whole cow or half or a quarter. There's people who sell eggs, people who have berries, and fishermen who sell direct. And we wanted to give all of these different people an opportunity to meet with customers and expand their range. Mm-hmm. And I
wanted to put a special plug out there for 4-H kids who are raising things for fair that might be looking for customers for their animals after fair. You know, you are more than welcome to come there too. We'd love to have you.
So tell us a little bit about the setup. It's going to be, I want to emphasize this is going to be a free event. It's free for the producers who want to come and it's free for the public. And so I'm a producer, I'm going to come and we'll set up a table. And then mm-hmm. Kelly, tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of similar to the one that I attended in Eugene, where producers are going to have little tables and displays and just be there and be able to talk to customers, really get that interaction face to face that we don't often always get. Another, you know, set of people that might come, farmers are people that sell to the co-op or something like that, where they never really get to be there and interact with their customers. And so this is a great way for them to have those face-to-face interactions.
I know you were excited. There's
Tom Zimmerman. Glory Bee Farm is going to be at all three events, or, you know, him and his wife, I'm assuming.
That's right. Yeah. And he's a big co-op supplier. So yeah, it's exciting that he's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you'll set up a table and you'll be able to talk. Will farmers be able to sell their shares there? Can you, if you want to take money there for your shares, you can.
Yeah, farmers can sign people up right then and there. You know, mm-hmm. we've talked about farmers giving away farm bucks, you know, for farmers markets, things like that. Just, you know.
Whatever you want to do to produce, to tell people about what you produce.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely really want to encourage people to come and just get to know the people in your community that are producing food locally. I think one of the things that's hard, especially when you're if you're not selling at farmers markets and you don't have that direct customer contact, is you can feel kind of isolated and not necessarily know that there's people out there interested in what you're doing, and it can be hard to connect. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes what you find is people who sell, they sell to people that they know, or they sell to their friends and family. And for customers, sometimes you might move to this community and know that there's people producing food, but you don't know how to reach them.
And because it's not, you know, a place like in the valley where you, everyone just knows it's a farming and agricultural area, you know, people might not even realize there's so many farmers and, you know, foragers and fishermen. Well, fishermen, they probably know there's lots of those here, but, you know, like farmers and what they're growing and how they're distributing their product. It's a little more invisible here than it is someplace like the valley. So,
so the potential for possibly like chefs to connect with some new growers.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd really love to encourage anyone with a restaurant to come. And, you know, we're definitely hoping that this will be the first of many annual events. And will be a place for people to start to connect and get to know people more, you know, on both ends, you know, for a producer to get to know more customers and find more ways to sell, and for people who are interested in buying to understand what some of the more, what some of the options are out there. One of the other things that we want to mention for the producers who are attending, we also decided it would be really important, you know, you don't often get a whole bunch of producers in a room together, and it's important for us to understand, you know, what their issues are and different ways that they can be supported and encouraged to be more successful in their businesses. And so North Coast Food Web, after the public event, so from 2 to 4 is the public event, and then from 4 to 5, we're hosting a listening session for producers and fishermen, foragers, anyone who's a local food producer, to come and talk a little bit about what some of the challenges are that they face and maybe what some of the help that they need to be more successful. And so we also want to really encourage anyone who's producing food. You don't have to be a vendor at the event. You don't have to come and set up a table or do any of that. But if you just want to come to the listening session, we totally encourage you and really would want you to attend, because we want to get a feel for who's out there, who's producing, maybe who wants to be a producer, and understand what are the ways that our communities can be more supportive of the people producing food locally. Mm-hmm. I think the feedback that we all get is that people are really excited about local food here on the North Coast, and they really want to see more of it. Customers are very excited about it, and there's a lot of people who want to get into producing food, and we just need to find ways to support that.
Mm-hmm. More. So we're at the part of our show where we talk about a recipe, and I was just thinking that Kelly really likes these brassicas, and so maybe we could just, you know, talk around maybe something with cauliflower or broccoli or Romanesco. Mm-hmm. Or
one of my favorite cauliflower things to do is just roast it. You know, it's not something that people automatically think when they think cauliflower, but it takes on the most amazing flavor and texture when it's roasted. And people like Teresa that might not even like regular cauliflower dishes still like roasted cauliflower.
I, you know, it's true. I have never been a fan of cauliflower until I had it roasted. And how do you roast it? Because it's really, it was how I had it was just super simple, but I'm curious how you do it.
I mean, that's what I do too. I just mix like oil, salt, chop it up. Yeah, yep. Chop it up first. Throw it in the oven and...
Like what temperature do you roast it at usually?
Oh, like 375, 400 around in there. Depends
on how
crispy.
Do you need to stir it at all while you're roasting it?
I tend to stir it every, you know, I check it every 10 minutes and give it a little stir, and then I, you know, cook it to however cooked I wish.
And like about half hour, 40 minutes?
Yeah, more like half an hour, I would say.
Pretty browned.
Yeah. You want like the little edges to be crispy. The other good thing to do is put different seasonings on it. If you wanted kind of an Indian spices, you could put tandoori spices or something like that on it. Or, you know, you can get a little bit more creative than just the plain old olive oil and salt.
And you can toss it with garlic cloves. I love it like that. It's so amazing.
I'm finding a newfound appreciation for cauliflower, I have to say. And I'm super excited. And Kelly has definitely talked me into growing cauliflower this year and Romanesco, which for those of you who don't know, Romanesco is kind of a cross between broccoli and cauliflower. It's somewhere in between.
It's a vegetable.
Very cool looking. It's kind of a pale green with a little pointy.
Lime green,
It's just, it's a super cool veg. So I'm excited about those. I'm going to continue to learn to explore a newfound appreciation for cauliflower this year and Asian greens and various other things. What do you do with roasted cauliflower? You just eat it?
Yeah, like a snack food.
It's so good.
Put it on anything. I encourage all of you to go out and try that and gear up and get excited for this growing season.
Do you ever roast your turnips?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. More... often the purple top storage turnips, but I have roasted Hockeri turnips before. They get really, really creamy.
Yeah, I was wondering, do they, I tried doing it one time and I think that I did it at too low of a temperature and they got really watery.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of...
The salad turnips can get watery. Yeah. That's why I tend not to do them.
Yeah,
because you have
okay.
to do, I think, pretty hot, quick.
Yeah, kind of thing. And then you have to really keep your eye on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I definitely want to encourage everyone to buy some local produce this year and try roasting it, because roasting is an awesome way to cook it. And I just want to remind everybody about the Meet Your Farmer events and encourage you all to attend. Meet Your Farmer, Fisherman, Forager, and Rancher is taking place in Astoria on April 6th, and that's going to be at the Grace Episcopal Church at 1545 Franklin. And then on April 20th, where there'll be two Meet Your Farmer events, one in Grays River at the Grays River Grange, and one in Cannon Beach at the Cannon Beach Community Hall. All of the events are from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And then they'll be followed by a one-hour listening session for producers to talk to North Coast Food Web more about their challenges and issues and things that they're dealing with as food producers here on the North Coast. And if you want more information about any of that, you can go to the North Coast Food Web website, which is northcoastfoodweb.org, or you could call North Coast Food Web. And Kristen, do you know that
number?
Sure,
503-325-8573, and you can ask for Renya or Kristen, and either one of us would be really happy to talk with you.
And I also want to encourage, if you are a food producer, or if you know somebody who's producing food and you think you might be interested in attending, we'd really love to encourage you to attend. And you don't have to be producing a whole lot of stuff. It can also be if you just sell eggs at the end of your driveway and you just maybe want to connect with some more customers.
And it is a free event for producers as well. People that have their tables, they don't not paying a fee for being there. It's free for the producers and for the customers.
Yeah. And don't let not having a table or, a way to bring a table hold you up, because I'm sure we can set you up with one if you need one.
Right. Yeah. We have tables. You're responsible for your display.
Okay.
So, and I guess I just want to encourage, everyone in the community to think about supporting these events or supporting farmers markets this summer or trying to seek out a CSA. I think, we do get a lot of feedback about, people recognize the importance of having a healthy local food community, a healthy local food economy. And this is the way that all of us can participate and help really raise that up and build those connections that we need here on the North Coast. These communities have a long history of farming and food production. And a lot of that's kind of fallen by the wayside over the last, several decades of, farming just not being viable here. And I think this is an opportunity for all of us to really start to support a strong, healthy local food economy, and something that I know is near and dear to my heart, but not just because I'm a farmer, but because I love to eat fresh local food and fresh fish and fresh meat. And I'm excited about more producers on the coast. So let's all try and support wherever we can.
And if anybody wants to track Kelly down and ask her a few more questions, you can usually find her at the co-op.
Yeah, right? That's where I usually am.
Monday through Friday,
Well, not
early
on Thursdays. That's a farm day.
Okay.
I'm there in the morning about till 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. My favorite time to talk to Kelly is right at 8 o'clock.
Right when we open.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, we're at the end of our show, and I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today. It's delightful to talk to you, and I can't wait to see you at Meet Your Farmer.
I know. Thanks. I hope to see everyone out at Meet Your Farmer. It'll be really fun to connect with a lot of people in the community. Thanks a lot, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to our ever-patient engineer, Mark Albrecht. Thanks to Luke and Katie for our theme song. And you can listen again to this.
Yes, and this will also be available on a podcast at coastradio.org.
And thanks, everyone. Sick in your face, sick comes from the